Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good evening, everyone here from Wrestling Daily. It is I, Alex McCarthy. As you can see, that is the wonderful Stephanie Chase on the other side
of
the screen. And we, unfortunately, have to talk about Jeff Hardy departing WWE for a third time, I think it is. Today, he was released by the company, and we are going to dive into why that has had to happen for such a legendary performer. We're also going to talk a little bit about AEW Dynamite. Of course we are, because Steph Chase is in the place, and that is Miss Dynamite's forte. And you can have your say, Wrestling Daily, wrestletalk.com/Wrestling Daily. You can dictate the comments and you can get involved. So without further ado, let's kick off Wrestling Daily. Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Wrestling Daily. It is I, Alex McCarthy, and of course, hey, Steph Chase, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Alex. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all, thank you. I'm just a bit gutted. I was saying this to Steph before we came on air. Obviously, everyone knows I'm a huge Jeff Hardy guy. Was rooting for him to do well in this run in WWE, and it just seems like if it isn't one thing, something is always getting in the way for Jeff Hardy. And it appears to be himself. Let's kick off with the titular news before we open it up for questions in the live chat. WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily for the Ultra Chats. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. But let's talk about Jeff Hardy departing WWE. So Sean Ross Sapp, of course, broke the news this afternoon, as he so often does, Steph. And he said in a fairly simple tweet that Jeff had departed the company. He'd been released. He was also followed up by saying he had declined entry to help and rehab is how Sean phrased it, which would suggest that he is struggling again with some of those past addictions that he's been very open about. Seemingly alcohol being the driving force for Jeff in more recent years. It's just very sad to see that he's in that space again. I think I speak for all of us when we say we want to see Jeff in a happy and healthy place and an environment. Perhaps going back on the road was a difficult thing for him, and you slip into some bad habits. That's just me speculating. Who could possibly know? But we do know the report from last week that obviously he was sent home from the road, although details around exactly why that transpired are still a bit murky. But the fact that Sean would include that he was offered rehab, I think, says a lot about where Jeff will be at this moment in time. It's also worth mentioning that Jeff's wife, Beth Hardy, posted on Twitter and she said, "Jeff is good. We are good. Post that you heard that, thanks," which is obviously slightly, she's obviously getting annoyed with the rumours, I can understand.
Yeah.
She's
lived it a long time.
Well, this is it, exactly. Matt obviously gave an update as well. His brother in AEW gave an update, I think it was last week, saying that
Monday,
Jeff was okay. Yeah, he said he was okay on his Twitch channel, and that, things were okay and he was going to be all right. So the same kind of noises are coming out of the Hardy family that he's okay, but WWE have obviously felt that they've had to cut ties with Jeff. And I think, Steph, if he is still struggling, I'm not going to get into a deeper conversation about WWE's morals but in this instance, I think it's best for everyone if they if it's hurting Jeff to be on the road and perform, and he slips into those old things that aren't good for his health, and he won't take the help, I suppose there's not much else WWE could really have decided to do in this instance.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one because we don't like know the exact circumstances. And with Jeff, you know, it's never an easy solution, and it's something he's been struggling with for such a long time that we just, you know, we don't know what could have possibly triggered it. But the fact that they released him makes me, think that, yes, they must have tried to give him some help that he didn't want and realized that was the best for him. So maybe it was to do with going on the road and how the adjustments to that. But it's just very sad, you know, to see this with Jeff. He did seem in a good place recently, but, mm-hmm. you know, you never know.
I think you said it best before we came on air, is that these days Jeff seems very aware of where he is.
Because he's so open talking about it. Like, you know, when he's doing interviews, he's not there like hiding that he's had issues in the past and with this. You know, he doesn't hide it. He talks about it. And I think he's aware of really all the chances he's been given. And I think he's aware of actions, consequences, all these different things. So, yeah, I would say I was like most surprised this time to hear about it, just because of some of his recent, you know, appearances.
Yeah, and that's the difficult thing, because like if he is that aware, which he is, he's, you know, I can attest to having spoken to him about this on and off camera in New York recently. Like, if he says he doesn't need help, does that mean he's, you know, he thinks he's got it under control, or is it just that he doesn't want to have to go through that again? You know, I think he said on Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions that he's never gone through like withdrawals in terms of drugs and things like that. You know, for alcohol, I know Kurt Angle, I think if you ever go and listen to his story, which again, I think he told Steve Austin quite openly on his podcast, not the network one, the actual podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, that you in his TNA years, he was just on like a cycle, right? Where you just can't get out of it. And you think you know what you're doing and you're well aware, and then, you know, things creep up on you again. Obviously, we don't know the specifics of what's going on with Jeff. All that we do know is that WWE offered him help, and that seemed to be where they said, okay, if you don't want the help, then there's not much we can do for you right now. And they've ended up letting him go. It's such a shame. Like I said, I did speak to him recently. He was such a good, genuine guy on and off the camera. Yeah. This is a man with a family who seems so grateful for that as well. Like, you know, when we were talking about having daughters, and he was just that, those are like the first things that really spring to my mind more than anything else, that I just hope everything is cool. Obviously his wife has already commented, but I just want him to have a good quality of life at this point. You know, we're not expecting Jeff Hardy of 2002. I don't think anyone is, right? Like, no, everyone's just wanted to kind of celebrate Jeff. And I feel like with the crowd reaction to the past few weeks, Steph, and I said this on Twitter, you could argue he's the most over person in WWE. There's not many people that get the reactions that Jeff does. And I feel like that's a long standing love just from the body of work and what he's done for the fans.
Yeah.
And to kind of see it, I was hoping he had one more kind of, you know, great story in him, but to see it end this way for him in WWE, I just think it's such a shame.
He's someone that people and the fans have always rooted for so hard. Like I remember the Hardy Boys from their debut as the Hardy Boys, not their dark match days, but like their actual, you know, debut, all of that. And he's really always had an underdog thing about him. You know, he was undersized at that time, and then he had this great run with Matt, and then you had the great singles run with that Undertaker match that no one that saw that will ever forget. And he's someone, and the other great thing about Jeff is Jeff still looks like he did, you know, back in the day. And you know, part of that's good genes, part of that's face paint, but even without the face paint, like, you know, he really does. So you can always see him as the same Jeff Hardy, where, you know, other people don't don't quite have that luxury. But I think, yeah, everyone, when the Hardy Boys had that great WrestleMania return, wanted one more great run out of them. And then with Matt leaving and Jeff being on his own, you think of all the things that you could do with Jeff Hardy. But what you were saying about interviewing him and what we were talking about being aware, I know that when I interviewed him, like, the one thing, and I don't want to sit and psychoanalyze Jeff Hardy because I've only spoken to him once, but I do think that he does speak a lot about kind of the feelings of what he's done wrong, like, as how he sees it or how he's been told it, or like the times that he's let himself down or people down. That was one thing I took away from it that I thought, and I've heard this in other interviews as well, I thought, wow, that guy maybe focuses a lot on that. And I think that can be really hard as well.
So yeah.
Like, I came away from talking to him thinking, like, I hope people kind of give him a break because that might be better for him. So, yeah. But it's, you know, hard to know, like, we don't know how he actually feels what happened, but it's just, you know, it's sad. And, but, you know, I do have faith that there is one more, like, great run left in Jeff, you know, alongside Matt as well, yeah, which would be lovely to see.
I was about to kind of stray onto that, in terms of where Jeff goes from here. But, you know, also, you know, just touching on what you just said, he has said that a lot in interviews, like, you know, if I muck up again, yeah. And he knew that, like, he's been very open with that. And, like, I think carrying that on your shoulders, and that has to be an intense pressure in and of itself. So, you know, he's kind of felt like he was on his last stand for a long time. And I think that the reason, you know, you look at the outpouring of love on Twitter, and it's a combination of what a legend he is. Like, he is kind of a one in a lifetime superstar. Just, he was so innovative in his time, you know, risked everything, the true daredevil that you can only help but fall in love with for your entertainment. But it's all, I think it is also his struggles, where people just want him to get better. They want him to thrive and do well. And it's that personal side, because it's not like, you know, because he is such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see him wrestle with these demons. I know you don't want that for the worst person, but especially Jeff, you just feel like, oh man, if I just wish he could get it together. Do you think it's a case of maybe if he's, you know, I don't know, he's been with his brother before and, you know, had problems, but do you think maybe AEW's lighter schedule, Matt being there, is there more kind of conducive parts for Jeff in AEW?
I think being in AEW would be better for Jeff, just because he'd have Matt, lighter schedule, stuff like that. However, I don't think that they can hire him until he gets help. I don't think he can be released by WWE and reportedly turn down rehab, and then what, Tony Khan picks him up in a month. Like,
yeah,
I don't think, you know, something like that can happen. But I think if he overcomes, conquers whatever's going on right now, then yeah, maybe AEW would be a good place for him. Maybe that is what he needs, that one more, you know, big run with Matt. And I mean, I think it would be helpful for Matt's character as well to be back with Jeff. But I think, you know, it might be good for him to have someone as close to him as Matt. They definitely have their ups and downs, but they're brothers. Like, no one knows Jeff like Matt knows Jeff. I think that would be helpful for him. But like you were saying, he's such a nice guy as well. I think people see that with Jeff's, you know, problems and stuff that's happened. They don't see it like, I don't think it comes from a place of him, you know, like trying to be like this. I don't want to compare him to anyone else, but this kind of, like, let's just say, like, baller excess character. It seems like totally different from that. So people do have, like, such sympathy and love for him.
Yeah. I'm sure I speak for everyone here at Wrestling Daily when we wish Jeff Hardy all the best. Hopefully haven't seen the last of him. As I agree with Steph, I believe there is kind of one, whether it's with Matt and the amazing tag team division in AEW, I would have loved to have seen him get one more kind of crack at the top in WWE, but if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. But, you know, you could tell some amazing stories with him in AEW as well. Plenty of fresh opportunities
and
there.
He's so creative. Like, I think the things that he wants, I think the things that he would want to do, he'd have a better chance of doing in an AEW, because, like, think of, you know, all the stuff this guy has created, even how innovative he's been with his paint and everything. I think that, and there was certainly a time in WWE when you could have, like, used him better in stories, you know, with people like The Fiend there and people like the now Malakai Black there. I think he, or, you know, another shot at before he retired, The Undertaker, you know, to like really play back on those things. Like, I think there's a lot more you could have creatively done with Jeff than basically making him a man in a multi-man match. And he's in it because he's Jeff Hardy, which is kind of how I felt about his booking a lot of the time.
Yeah. And like the only real story they gave him was of his addictions, and I know at the time a lot of people were like, oh, you know, Jeff's had a say in it, and you know, I think what really turned out to be Jeff only really had a say in the verbiage of the bar scenes with Sheamus, like the ideas of the actual story, as far as I'm aware, were from above his pay grade, and I don't think that's aged well when you look at things like this. But you know, it's funny, I say that now. No one thought, even at the time, nobody thought it was a great idea.
Wasn't it that story where they, I don't want to say it, but the liquid was in that story?
It is, yes.
That was very bad. That was very
I'll say it for you, Steph. He threw piss in Sheamus's face.
Very bad.
But alas, you know, again, like we said, all the best to Jeff Hardy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, a guy Jeff has great history with is CM Punk. And we're going to use that as a segue to talk about a little bit of Dynamite last night, because I loved the opening of Dynamite last night. For those who didn't see it, they're in Long Island, the home of MJF. MJF's music plays, but no, it's CM Punk who comes out to the music, and then it abruptly stops. And he proceeds to be a much grittier, prickly, I think is the right word, CM Punk. He's got a real... I mean, to be fair, I as much as I enjoyed the promo, I felt like he had more of a problem with the Islanders than MJF. But still, it was really good. I enjoyed seeing CM Punk be a bit provocative again. I liked it. I liked seeing it. And I felt like it was a nice little chapter in their story. And following that, MJF would then face Dante. The Battle Royal commenced for the Dynamite ring. Dante Martin, MJF for the final two, which means they will meet next week. Steph, what did you make of this latest installment in MJF and CM Punk? Let me just say before I let you answer that, this Dante Martin Team Taz split has happened quick, hasn't it?
It has, but we'll get to that. But this is a thrilling piece of television, Alex. It is. You know, I was wondering what the reaction to MJF would be in Long Island. And I don't know how they figured out what the reaction would be or whether Punk was just going off the cuff depending on, but oh my gosh, it was so good. It was pure Brett in Canada stuff. Like,
yeah,
MJF, you know, you have, they play MJF's music. Everyone freaking loves MJF in Long Island, which I really thought, you know, that he would do everything he could to get booed. But this idea of them just embracing him, I thought he was going to like cut a promo that's like, I've never been as happy as to see the back of Long Island, like that type of thing. No, like, they booed CM Punk. I could not believe it. Now, I don't know anything about the sports teams, so whatever. I do feel like Punk was kind of semi going off the cuff of like, which way will this go? And when the boos started coming, he went on and on, because I feel like he didn't have enough material for the time. But that's fine, because it was still thrilling to see CM Punk being booed. And then you got heel Punk. I needed my fan for heel Punk, because he was back. And I got these feelings of like when Punk was real heel, like with Heyman against The Undertaker. Like, I love this man, but I loved him so much last night. Just being that heel. And then it just got better, because MJF makes this amazing video all about how great he is, going back to his high school. He, like, referencing Billy Joel. I love Billy Joel. I was marked out for that. Just all this Long Island stuff, how great he is. He references the fact that he was in a barbershop quartet. Like, this man, if we could ever get to the bottom of this man, because this is a man that was a star athlete in high school, wanted to be a pro wrestler, and also was basically in a glee club. Like, he is so complex. It's a lot to take in. And it's so cool as well. Like really, really, he must have been like the, oh my gosh, I've forgotten his name. But the main character in Glee, the main male character who is like the jock that they pull into the Glee Club, but MJF actually wanted to do it. Like, who was he in his high school? I want to know about the real man. Anyway, he's fascinating. He's fascinating. And then he comes out and it felt like he had a genuine moment where he looked like he was going to cry. And I think that he would have felt that way whether they cheered or booed him. I think he just had this, he got to have this amazing, like, he's made it moment. He's made it to the big stage in his hometown. And it was just really cool to see. It didn't negatively affect the character at all, which sometimes like role switching can, especially a character as protected as MJF, because, you know, he's horrible to fans that he meets. Like, he keeps this up 24/7, but none of this, what happened last night, affects how you see the MJF character, because he promotes so much in his promos that Long Island is the best. He's from Long Island. So for him to be like that in Long Island, it's totally, totally acceptable. I loved it. I loved the Battle Royal. I'll stop talking now.
No, but I mean, I only want to say a few things on that. One, I love that MJF would run in, stomp someone, and go out and hide behind Wardlow, and then the whole crowd's like, yeah, they're going batshit crazy for it. I thought once CM Punk caught whiff that the crowd wanted to boo him, he was like in his element, and he was just pushing it, as you know what I mean, like, you could tell he was excited to kind of push buttons, which is cool. And I agree, when MJF came out, I don't think there's anything more genuine than the smile that he had. Like, you know, whether he was going to cry or not, whatever. But like, you could
he cried backstage.
Yeah.
In a corner alone where no one could see him, so that no one would ever know. I bet he had just a little cry to himself thinking, wow.
Genuinely elated. Before I have to wind things down here, Trent Barretta, wow, he's in good shape. When he first got out of the car, I was like, oh wow, skinhead, like, wow. Who is that? Like, he looks so different. But Sue was also in the house. I thought it was pretty cool that best friends had their moment. And send for Hook, the man himself.
No, we have to talk about his
debut this Friday. Spoiler, he's already made the debut. If any of you are
I've seen the entrance.
He is ripped, by the way.
Yeah.
Hook is a good nick.
I just don't know what is I have left to look forward to in life now that Hook has wrestled a match. It's like, what do I live for now? It's happened. I guess his world title run, which is literally coming soon.
Put the belt on Hook. Put it on him.
Just like just finally Hook is gonna have a match. We've been waiting so long for this. She is 10 out of 10 excited. His ring gear looks freaking awesome. His entrance music, some Bronson entrance music, really cool as well. He is just the kid is such a star. Like, don't fill in your rest of the year ballots yet until Friday, please, because I have such high hopes for Hook. Now, would I have made his debut match against Fuego de Sol? No. I would have given him a much bigger opponent. I would have had him beat Kenny Omega in 5 minutes or something. But look, we'll see where it goes. But now Team Taz has another actual wrestler in their arsenal, and that's really cool. One thing I just want to say while I mentioned Team Taz, I have to say the ending of the Battle Royal I thought was great. The way Dante just threw him out there, like so many times in Battle Royals, or guys just standing there having like a stare down moment. He's like, no, just chuck him out.
Ricky's face was great as well.
Absolutely.
Like Ricky sold that moment so great. Like, you know, I was just thinking this about Hook, because I haven't seen him wrestle yet, but I tweeted today, oh my God, they sent for Hook. And a few people in the comments were like, I was there last night, and it was really good. So I was like, oh man. So now I'm even more excited. But like, you know, he's got that, just watching his entrance, like he looks great, obviously. Handsome guy, ripped. He's got the lineage with his dad. He's got that swagger that you can't kind of teach. Like, even the way I was watching him walk to the ring, I was like, yeah, look, he carries himself in his own.
So cool.
He is cool.
He's so cool.
The thing that bothers me sometimes is when, you know, they go, oh, but can they cut a promo or whatever? I love the mystery around Hook. I think that's half the charm.
Very mysterious. Yes, he's very mysterious. But he's so cool, and he's just so now, like, of the moment, modern, like, of the actual world outside wrestling. He looks like a couple of male models I follow on Instagram, you know, and he dresses like them too. And I think that's something that wrestling really has never got properly at all. I cannot think of a major star in wrestling that has ever felt like they belong in actually what's going on in pop culture right now. Wrestling always seems a little bit behind on that, and Hook is of the now, and I see great things in Hook's future. Like, if they'll put Austin Gunn on an e-reality show, what will they do with Hook? You know, like,
I'm not going to make this comparison, but I am in a perverse way. The Rock was really cool. That's why The Rock was like super popular. He was really cool in a different way, but at the same time, you know what he was wearing and saying at that time in history, he was perfect for that moment. Similarly, we have to watch him wrestle, and obviously he has to put together a body of work and stuff. Hook has that cool factor that you can't you can't book or teach. Make someone you can't, like, he's got it. So hopefully the rest falls in place this Friday. And you know, the guy's going to march forward. I can't wait to see it. Steph, before we close here, is there anything else from Dynamite you wanted to touch on?
Okay. I don't criticize AEW that much because I like it so much. But I have to say, if you were to ask me, Alex, what is your biggest criticism of AEW? It would absolutely 100% be the booking of Sammy Guevara. It is really bad. And this poor boy, who is so talented, he gets the TNT title. Great. He deserves it. He then goes right back into being in Inner Circle matches, which, like, I love the Inner Circle, but it's holding him back. And then he's doing this like Challenger of the Week thing with his TNT title. But I don't think it's not great. He should be booked like Darby Allin was, because he's like such an underdog. You know, I don't want to, I never wanted to see him. I don't want to see anyone face Jay Lethal, but I didn't want to see him have that match. And then, you know, he gets Tony Nese, like, okay. And then now he, like, this Cody, you know, coming out to challenge him. I'm like, the last thing Sammy needs is to be sucked into the Codyverse, even if it is just for one match. So I just, like, my Christmas wish for AEW is to please just book Sammy well. There are so many guys on the roster. You don't even need to, like, bring in new challengers. There are so many guys in the roster that he can have great matches with. Book him like you booked Darby Allin. Give him proper feuds. Let him be his own man. Tell him to take off his Inner Circle vest so that we have more of a distinction of, like, who Sammy is on his own. And just, yeah, I'm scared that Cody will take this title off him.
Imagine.
No, I am. I was so scared. That we didn't get to talk then, but the night he faced Jay Lethal, I've never been so scared watching a match. Like, seriously, every freaking near fall, I was like, if they do this to Sammy, like, oh. But I just, Cody coming out, I was like, great. So what's this going to be? Because that match is at Christmas, so we have weeks to build this match. Are we going to spend weeks with Cody building a program with Sammy, where Sammy is stuck in the Codyverse, and then to get out of it, what's he going to have to do? Because all Malakai Black could do to get out of it was spit in the Varsity Blondes, a team that we usually see on Dark and Elevation. You know, like, that was a desperate escape there by Malakai. Yeah. But I just,
put me anywhere.
But I really feel that Sammy should be better booked. I think that his TNT title run is the weakest of all the TNT title runs. It pains me to say that, because he's probably my favorite of the wrestlers that have been TNT champion. Sammy's amazing. Please let him just have amazing matches week to week and build up a great body of work where we can see more single stuff from him, because he just has not had the chance to shine in AEW that his peers like MJF, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, Britt Baker have had.
And you know what? Since he turned face and started, more importantly, working face, when the Inner Circle did early this year, I think he's electric as a babyface. Yeah. Electric.
Yeah.
And it was overdue, because he'd been a heel for such a long time. And, you know, his selling is obviously great, and that was fantastic. But, oh, my God, when he works babyface, those matches are just so great. And you're right, he hasn't been given any great foils. And there are a ton in AEW.
So many. Bring back the panda head. He should bring back the panda head and just be, you know, like that Sammy again. But yeah, he should do like a full program with someone. Like, it always gets so close.
There are a ton of guys. Why not? Like, I don't know. I know you're trying to keep him out of the picture, but literally on the heel side of things, if you wanted to partner Sammy, Adam Cole is lurking around. A Lance Archer, if you wanted to do a true underdog story, you know, and he's never got to the TNT title that he thought he was going to. You know, I know Miro's obviously sitting around. You could even parlay what they were doing with American Top Team and have Scorpio Sky or, you know.
What about Malakai Black instead of
Malakai Black is another good one. Yeah.
Like, that could have been, that could be a full program. Like, Malakai Black could have come out and spat on Sammy instead. And while that program is building, Sammy could have TNT title matches every week, but always with Malakai Black, like, lurking in the background. Because Malakai Black's like a perfect kind of guy for the TNT title right now.
He is. I have to hope that they're kind of doing this at the moment, because it's like a holding pattern, like, for Sammy to get to the next thing. The next pay-per-view, I know Winter is coming, is next week, but then the next pay-per-view after that is what? It's Revolution. In February.
But I'm not convinced that Sammy will have a solo match at Revolution. Like, I feel like he could be sucked into more Inner Circle stuff, you know, when we get to Revolution. I just...
Jericho's playing with 2.0 right now, right?
Yeah.
Who Kingston is also feuding with in a weird way. But we saw...
Santana Ortiz came to Kingston to...
Which tells you where that's
to
going.
To show the viewers the connection to Jericho.
Exactly.
I have to agree with that comment that Tony Nese should have won the TNT title. Like, absolutely not. Tony, who are you, niece, coming into the company for no reason and taking a TNT title off a guy that's been there since day one and worked the way up? Like, absolutely not. Tony Nese can get a personality first, and then maybe he'll get some gold in a couple of years. But no.
Yeah, great abs, but no thanks, Tony.
No.
Anyway, this has been Wrestling Daily tonight. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us on this Thursday edition. A delight to be able to chat AEW with Steph once again. But if you guys haven't checked out her video detailing her American trip, make sure you do that on her YouTube channel. Yeah. Are there more vids coming? Is the AEW shows coming back, Steph?
Yes, they should be back next week. But please check out my USA trip video, all about my time there. And yeah, it was really fun to make, a bit of a long edit, but it's a bit of a long video too. But if you can, give it a watch.
Awesome. Make sure you do that, guys. And Steph also has a podcast that you should also subscribe to while you're at it. I did an interview with Sonya Deville yesterday that I mentioned that I will be writing up tomorrow, I think I will tomorrow, and also SB3, because I couldn't, spoke to Mickey James today. So we also have, yeah, there's a lot of content coming, and I'm sure you'll be able to find the Mickey James video on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel. I'd like to end tonight by thanking all of you for joining us, but also extending our well wishes to Jeff Hardy. He was released by WWE today. If you want to know more about that news, please go back to the beginning of this video where we detail it, of the information we have. But more importantly, let's hope that Jeff is healthy and well, and is going to be in a better place for leaving WWE. I'll be back tomorrow with Skillet, formerly of Gorilla Position Podcast, and you will see Steph here next Thursday. With that, everybody, take care of yourselves and good night.